And aloha. Welcome to the Travel Angel Radio Show. Very happy to be here on this hot July day. I'm Cindy Paulos here with my co-host Kathy Takushi from Captivating Journeys. Aloha, Kathy.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Great. Busy, busy, busy time of year, isn't it?
Yes.
A lot of people traveling.
It's our busiest. It's, yeah, when families go and so. But most people are gone. Or going.
I have a couple weeks. I'm going August 5th. I'm going to Spain on an Oceania cruise that goes from Bilbao, leaves from Bilbao, which is where that famous Guggenheim Museum is. That's the most thing it's famous for. And then kind of doing the whole going down the coast in Lisbon for a day and a half or so. And then around, and I'm interested in going to Menorca, which is an island off Mallorca. And land up in Barcelona. Oh, and Gibraltar, I've never been to before.
Oh, and I think, aren't you going to Santiago?
Yes, I've never been there before.
Yeah, that's which I'll be going in October, so you can tell me a little bit about
it. So I'm excited about that. There's been a lot of people, and I heard there's one more Paul Gauguin cruise that was added to the list, because they earlier dates have been selling out on the Paul Gauguin 7-day cruises, correct?
Right, the October 28th is sold out for the Hawaii resident rate, and they just added August 12th.
That seems about so far away. That's next year.
No, it's next month.
August, oh, this year?
This year.
Oh, they added one for this year. I thought you meant next year.
No, they haven't done...
Oh, well, then people got to get on that one right away. And is that the 7-day one?
The 7-day.
Wow, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Folks, you got to do it, because like I'm doing the one August 28th. I got the last balcony. And, I mean, I barely got it. And I'm shocked that they added one coming up, and that's just a month away. So what you got to do is you got to get a hold of Kathy right away on this, because it'll just be gone. It'll be gone in a week. Give Kathy a call right away. But, yeah, even if you call now, Tina can answer the phone. 244-1414 at CaptivatingJourneys.com as well, if you're listening in other places in the world. But this is a Kama Aina deal, which is...
It's a really good deal.
It's an amazing deal. So what are the prices on that one?
It's the same. The balconies start at $1,575 per person. That's the window start at $1,575 per person, porthole.
And then the window is, I think, around $2,000.
The balcony,
The balcony is $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
And that's up a little bit, but... I haven't checked the prices for right now, but I know when I'm going October 28th, that the prices were at $1,000 flying down on Hawaiian, which is a good price for Hawaiian.
That's what it's been averaging on all the sailings so far that we've been doing, about $1,000.
And the amazing thing on this particular offer is the fact that you get your alcohol included and you get your tips included. And the food is fabulous. It's a first-class ship, 5-star rating, small. It's 334 passengers.
Mm-hmm.
And almost an equal amount of people to serve you as passengers. It's almost one-to-one.
Yeah, the service is really good.
Service is amazing. And it's really great quality sheets. And it is first-class and very, very friendly people. No attitude, you know. It's just very kickback and... And it's absolutely beautiful. And this one starts in the same one I'm doing.
Papeete, and then it goes to Huahine, and then over to Taha'a, and then Bora Bora overnights there, and Morian overnights there.
Well, that's a great deal. So, folks, I know a lot of people have been on this one, so definitely get on this right away, because that sounds like a fabulous offer. I'm so happy to have back Clarence. Clarence was here before in the studio, and he is one traveling fool. He just loves...
And Cheryl,
comma boy. I mean, you know, it's amazing when you start talking about travel and you can't even keep track of all the places that have been happening. But you just recently went to one of my favorite places on this planet, and it's not ages and light years away. It's close, but it is just a magical place, and that's Yosemite.
Yellowstone.
Oh, I thought you went to Yosemite.
Once.
Oh, once. Oh, okay. This is
Yellowstone National Park.
So sorry, I think I told her.
Oh, yeah. She did. And so Yosemite, you did before.
Yellowstone.
I'm sorry. I keep going. I have Yosemite in my mind. I was all excited because we were talking about Yosemite before the show. But Yellowstone, you did a little bit before the massive rush of people, which, like, I would imagine right now on July 4th is the peak at Yellowstone, right? I would imagine that's some of the busiest time of year. When did you go to Yellowstone?
We got there May 28th.
That's a good time.
And that's when they first start to open up the park. Uh-huh. I think they open up the park mid-May. So it was still the start of the season, but there were a lot of people. So I was surprised because I've been there before, and now it's getting more crowded.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Did you book your for rooms, if you're staying in one of their lodges, those book way out in advance,
well,
don't they?
I was told that booking is a year in advance.
Yeah, that's
so
a long time in advance.
I called this past January and to prepare for next year, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But I just so happened to say, you got anything open this year? And they said, well, we got 4 days available in May. And I said, well, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, so because that's the state, lodge, right?
It was the Old Faithful Inn.
Oh, that's a classic one that's been around for 100 years?
Over 100 years.
Yeah. Have you seen that one, Kathy? Have you been to Yellowstone?
I haven't.
Oh, you have to go.
I know.
Yeah, no, it's pretty amazing. So, had you been there before, Cheryl?
Oh, it was about 40 years ago.
Wow.
But my first time staying in the park in the Old Faithful Inn, which is a beautiful accommodation.
Those are done with those big wooden beams and the large fireplaces that are stone, aren't they?
They're built with the lodge, they call them lodgepole pine, which is found within that area, and the architect who designed and built that lodge tried to stay with all of the natural materials and resources, and one of them was the poles, and the lodge, if you look at it, is about the height that these trees actually grow. And so when you enter through the red doors of this beautiful lodging, it opens into this very, very large lobby area, which in the old days used to be where they danced. They got all dressed up in their formal wear, and there'd be a band up above in sort of like this treehouse or this deck up in the ceiling. And, you know, they would be looking down on all the people that were dancing and kind of showing off their, you know, their formals. So
I stayed there. When I stayed there, I couldn't get a room in the main lodge. They were all booked out. I got one outside, but, you know, you go in, and it's very historic. There's a wonderful National Park special they did, which they talk about that, and the architect who did that. I believe she was a woman.
Well, no? Actually, I have the name here. His name, Robert Reamer.
Robert Reamer did it?
He was only 29 years old at that time.
Wow.
And so this was his major project, and he did help with the expansion of some of the other accommodations there in the park, but this was his one project.
Do they serve the big dinners in a big room? It's kind of like the large room dinners.
There's a very large dining area, and so making reservations is a must, even if you're a guest there. And it was very service is very, very good, and the food was excellent.
So besides Old Faithful, which is great, you know, I mean, it is, everyone's going to see Old Faithful, right? But there's a lot of other parts to Yellowstone that are just, I like the colors. Did you notice the colors from all of those wonderful pools and what builds up are really interesting and also very photographic, I found. Was that interesting? Did you enjoy that, just exploring the different parts outside of where Old Faithful is?
I enjoyed that, but I was more surprised at how close the animals would get to you.
Yeah.
Now, there were buffaloes walking around our lodge. I mean,
really?
Yeah, in the parking lot, in the back.
I wonder if people were feeding them, if they're eating the food or something. That sounds unusual that they're that close.
Well, they just hung around. So
wow.
And we saw.
You could get some great pictures there.
Yes, and we saw bears, you know, grizzly bears, and they were close by, too. I mean, you can't get real close to it, but, yeah.
Yeah, there's supposed to be also wonderful eagles and birds, and things. The wildlife is one of the key things that makes Yellowstone very, very special, right?
Yeah. So we're driving on, you know, they got beautiful roads, but we're driving on a road with the buffaloes. I mean, they're walking the other direction, like 2 feet next to you.
Wow, that is something.
Yeah.
And at that time that we went, it's like, I guess, still springtime, so the little ones, they just gave birth. And so you see all the baby bison frolicking in the green, and all the baby animals are there.
Well, I went so long ago, they didn't have all the bison back then. The bison have made an amazing comeback, and I think partly due to Ted Turner took a huge interest in bringing bison back in Montana. But it's amazing how they've made a comeback, actually. Mm-hmm. And they are just kind of fascinating to watch, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah, especially the babies.
Yeah, but the rangers say, be careful.
Yeah.
Don't want you getting tossed in the air, which has happened to people pretty recently. So, you know, they look very docile, but they're very powerful animals.
I've heard the wolves have made a comeback in Yellowstone.
The wolves are there. We didn't see them quite where we were at, but we've heard that they're there. Mm-hmm. And elk. Deer.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And, of course, there's a huge lake, Yellowstone Lake there.
I don't even recall that.
There's a lodging right there on the lakeside, but that whole lake is filled with, I think it's some sort of trout. You know?
Yeah. Yellowstone trout.
So. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. So you did a road trip with an RV. This was an RV one this time or not?
No, that was in the past.
Mm-hmm.
That was to Sedona, and that was my first RV trip, so it was kind of a little scary because I have never pulled or drove, you know, RV. They're big.
Yeah.
And we're told in Yellowstone the most dangerous thing is first-time RV drivers.
I could see that more than actually animals eating you. It's the drivers of RVs, and I could totally understand that. So did you, when you were out wandering around there in May, did you find a lot of traffic when you were going out on the road? Were you just in a line of traffic? Or
I think once we got through into Yellowstone itself, because people are so anxious to see the wildlife on the side of the road, or you know, they think they spot a bear or something, they just want to stop right in the midst of their drive, which the rangers will tell you, you know, don't do that, because that really causes a traffic jam. What they prefer you to do is to pull off onto these pullouts, and they have lots of those all throughout the park. But I think we were surprised that even though the park had just opened, this is like their opening weekend, there was still quite a bit of travelers coming through, just maybe driving through for the day or staying there for a day or two or coming through with their RVs.
I think it's getting harder and harder to find places to get away. I think you can't go to the big parks. I can't like even imagine what Yosemite would be like right now in the summer. So much so that we were talking before. I mean, Yosemite is one of my favorite places on earth, but I wouldn't go in the summer. I mean, you know, if you can go earlier in the season, May or something. And I wouldn't at all anymore stay in the valley of Yosemite. I'd only stay up in one of the townhouses or condos you can rent. There's up above you can go, and you can hang out up above, and there's lots of trails to do up there. Of course, it's closed in the wintertime up above, But that is, for me, the way to go. Because once you go down the valley these days in Yosemite, it's just nothing. It's nothing but traffic. I think I heard they were going to start limiting people going into some of these parks because it had gotten that bad, where they're even talking in the future about just doing trams in and out, you know, where you don't even drive in, which would be a shame. I mean, but you got to do something if you get to the point where that's at, you know, where there's just like where you can't even get through if it's just sitting in traffic. That people don't go to a park that's beautiful to just sit in traffic for an hour, you know, and because it does take away from the experience of the whole thing.
Yeah, and I noticed too, I've been to the park 40 years ago, but this time I noticed there are a lot of international visitors.
I've really seen a lot. Even here on Maui, I'm seeing more and more international visitors.
There are busloads of Asian tourists.
Yep.
You know, Chinese, Korean,
are all
Japanese.
Over.
Chinese are indeed.
They're just everywhere.
Yeah, they've taken to the road. It's amazing how, you know, what's happened with their economy, where they just can take off and travel. Because it's not cheap, you know, flying over and doing it. So that shows that with their economy, there's a much more group of affluent people who are able to take off and travel, which is, and some of them are just the whole families and everything. I see them here, just the whole families traveling and doing that more, definitely. I see more people from India traveling than I used to, because I think, again, the economy in India has changed. Mm-hmm. And there's more income coming into areas of India, and there I'm seeing them travel. It's very interesting how, you're right, the world is traveling more, you know.
And I can see that these Asian people are intrigued with the United States, especially Western U.S. I don't know if it's this cowboy mentality, but they seem to, you know, like to try, you know, the food, you know, we had buffalo steaks and trout and
elk steak and sausages made of elk and bison.
So you, I want to talk a little bit about the one you did as well. You did Sedona, and Sedona is one of my favorite places, of course. I have a radio station, KUOS FM, that is there. So I go there at least once a year or more. And I think that's one of the great places for hiking. There's amazing hiking trails of all different levels. Really, just like you say, sometimes you like to not do serious hiking, but walking, you can do a lot of walks there.
Yeah, the type of, well, we don't do hiking anymore. We just do these nicely groomed trails. No rocks
no
to climb or anything. You just enjoy, you know, the scenery.
Yeah.
And they have those type of trails, and we enjoy it.
But remember, the landscape and the scenery in that Sedona area is just beautiful. Mm-hmm. The reddish mountains and with the sun setting or the sunrise, it just, you know, presents, it's almost like a painting on canvas.
It is, absolutely.
I remember, the sunset is really the best time for Sedona, because the whole area kind of glows. It just turns red.
It's on fire.
Absolutely seen that. Yeah, that's so true. So on this last trip to Yellowstone, where did you rent your RV?
Oh, we didn't have an RV.
Oh, you didn't do an RV on this one at all?
Not the Yellowstone. That was Sedona.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
we
so
rented
you,
it in
And you started
Phoenix.
The Yellowstone trip in?
Salt Lake City.
Oh, so you did a drive from Salt Lake.
Salt Lake City. It's about, if we drove directly to the park, it would have been 6 hours, but we stopped in Jackson Hole for 2 days.
I love Jackson Hole.
Which
I
is
mean,
about,
it's touristy, but it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been there?
I haven't been.
It is, that really does feel like the West there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah. When we were there, they had a rodeo and a parade with pioneer dressed people walking. And
oh, really? In May?
Yeah. In fact, there's a group that sort of travels this circuit, and they set up like a campground. And one of the people we talked to actually taught us on a model how to set up your teepee. You know, your teepee?
Uh-huh.
And he said, if you really know what you're doing, you can set one of these up, he says, like in 15, 20 minutes. And he had been doing that for, I think, like 40, 50 years, making the circuit, traveling with his teepee every summer. He says, this is my summer home. He says, I have a home, but in the summer, this is my home.
Mm-hmm. I think more and more people are taking off and doing this. I've heard of a lot of, Kathy, I've heard of a lot of people say that's what they want to do. They kind of, when they semi-retire, they want to take, rent an RV and take to the roads and go to some of the national parks.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know in Jackson Hole, I think next month, August, there is the big, a lot of people are going there for the big solar eclipse, I think it is.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah,
no.
I have somebody There's going there, solar, and they planned it. They had to plan it way, way
really?
In since last year.
I didn't know. Well, I missed this one about the solar eclipse. You don't know when that's happening.
It starts
August 21st.
Yeah, it starts in Oregon.
Starts in Oregon, Lincoln City, Oregon, and crosses the continental U.S.
I'll be in Barcelona, so I'll miss it.
Mm-hmm.
I come back the next day, I think.
It's a total solar eclipse.
A total one.
So we know that there are groups of people who've been planning this ever since it was
Yeah, no. I have a client right. that had been doing it since last year.
Right.
Planning the trip to see a solar eclipse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's best in the continental U.S., I assume.
I guess.
This time it will cross the continental U.S. Right. It's probably almost like once in a lifetime you have something like this.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it happens every 17 months somewhere in the world.
But not right here.
Well, not in the U.S.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So we were on a 5 years ago on a cruise ship, on a solar eclipse cruise
really?
Ship, as it turned out.
Oh, wow.
We didn't know that when we first applied to get on the ship, but I think they realized that there's a lot of people trying to reserve on the ship, and the reason was because there was going to be a total solar eclipse. So we watched this solar eclipse out in the ocean off of Australia.
There. Oh, how amazing that must have been.
Oh, it was
yeah,
it was
with
amazing.
About 1,000 solar eclipse groupies.
Wow.
We didn't know there was such a thing.
No, I didn't know either.
I think there is.
There is. And they were all really nice because they had all this fancy high-tech equipment.
Uh-huh.
We didn't.
So you can take pictures of it?
Well, they let us see through their telescopes uh-huh. or their binoculars because we don't have anything like that, right? And it's a lot different when you're viewing it through the high-tech kind of equipment that they have.
So you did Jackson Hole, where you landed and you rented a car.
Rented a car in Salt Lake City. And then drove to Jackson Hole.
And then from there you went to?
To Yellowstone.
To Yellowstone, mm-hmm. which was about how long to get up there?
Salt Lake City to Jackson Hole is 5 hours. And Jackson Hole to the South Gate of Yellowstone is a little more than an hour.
That's not far.
Yeah.
But it took us more like 3 hours because we stopped along the way.
Once you
the Tetons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was a nice one.
Yes. The weather was great.
That's perfect in springtime. And so you were gone for a total of about
10 days.
10 days. And you were able to see some really lovely things.
Yes.
So you're leaving on another trip, though, real soon, huh?
Yes.
They're always leaving on a trip.
Really? Where are you going next?
We're going to South America, mainly Peru and Brazil.
Interesting. Now, I haven't been down there, Kathy. That's one place, and I've traveled, I figured, I counted finally. It's almost just about 40, I think 39 or 40 countries, and I've never been down to Brazil and Peru, and that is one place I want to go.
I want to go to Machu Picchu.
Yeah. You haven't been down there either.
No, but I have clients there that just did this. They went to Rio, Buenos Aires, and Machu Picchu, and they're in Lima today. And I want to go. I want to do that trip. It was a good trip.
So when do you leave for that one, Clarence?
We leave on the August 14th.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's going to be flying from here to?
We got a flight from Maui, Denver, Houston, Lima. 20 hours, so 21 hours.
That's a long haul down there.
Yes.
Wow. Flight.
That, I didn't know that was going to be 20 hours. My gosh. So the part from Denver down is
well, Denver to Houston. I think it's 2 hours.
And then Houston is about 14, 12 hours?
No. Well, there's a layover, but the flight itself is about 5-6 hours.
Okay. And then now, have you found that it's kind of hard to book things, and did you have to do a tour, or how did you decide to approach it, because it's a very important thing, but you mentioned high altitudes and things, and you have to take into account the high altitude. And so how did you approach what you were going to do on this trip?
Well, I've been there before. In fact, I spent 6 months in Lima.
That's a long time.
Yes. And so I knew the area, and I've been to Machu Picchu and Lake Titicaca and Arequipa and some of the other places. And
you haven't been, though, Cheryl, have you?
I've been to Lima, but not these highlights.
Well, definitely Machu Picchu, Lake Titicaca.
And we'll see if we make Machu Picchu, but it depends on the altitude.
So do you have a tour, or are you just going to do it on your own, or
we'll do it on our own.
You like doing it as an independent, right? You don't like traveling on your own. It seems like a lot, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Except for cruises.
Except for cruising.
We love cruising. Yeah. In fact, our trip in September involves 3 cruises.
Well, you just are doing, wait a second, you're doing Machu Picchu In August, and then you're taking off in September?
In September.
Okay, these are traveling pools.
They
My
are.
Gosh, I'm just like, whoa.
Oh, and then you have another cruise next year, too.
Oh, yeah, we just signed up to do Panama Canal, because we waited until they widened the canal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now that they've done that, we're signed up with Kathy on a cruise.
So what's the one in September?
Well, that's a cruise on the Queen Mary.
Oh, the Queen Mary. I've never been on the Queen Mary either. And I've talked to people who have, and they say it's very interesting. But they say it's very formal, right? Mm-hmm. It's more formal than
it's,
then.
It's our first time. We kind of look. We just got our packet, and every night is a jacket or a tuxedo. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, really?
You're going to tell us all formal. About that when you come back.
Yeah. Wow. So you pack differently on something like that, right?
Lots of clothes.
And shop differently.
Yeah. Where are you going?
Well, that Queen Mary goes to England from New York.
Wow. Yes.
And then we'll spend some
transatlantic,
time
like the old style.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you fly into New York?
Fly into New York and embark from New York.
You get a balcony or did you get it?
We have a balcony room.
Yeah, that's nice.
Again, this is our first time on the Queen Mary, so it'll be a
It's going to be an
experience.
Interesting experience doing the Atlantic crossing. It's very
but
different than...
You've done it a couple of times.
I've done it, but not on the...
Not the Queen Mary. Yeah, no, you've done it on Celebrity.
Celebrity cruise, yeah.
How long does it take to cross the Atlantic?
The Queen Mary is 7 days. And that's a true crossing because it doesn't stop like other cruise ships. They'll stop along the way. So it's just straight cruise, New York.
So it's more the socialization than the stopping and shore excursions. It's more the parties and dinners and the dressing up, I guess, right?
We'll find out. I think so.
I would think for 7 days, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You guys like that long sea days, don't you?
Yeah. And it's real relaxing.
Things, yeah. Mm-hmm. They have things to do and entertainment and shows and...
Good food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you dance? I heard they do dancing on that one. You know, not a lot of these other, the other clubs do club dancing, but I heard they do formal dancing.
We just got the schedule, and there's a formal black and white night, and then a masquerade.
Are you going to
bring
a costume?
I don't know. We don't have a costume. Clarence says we'll find out.
Wow. Well, if it's a masquerade, you're going to have to. You could guess get a mask.
Just
somewhere.
A mask. Right,
yeah, you can get those masks. You might even be able to order it on Amazon. They have that thing starting tonight at 9:00. But I bet you can get one of those masks from Venice or the Venice town. You know, you do that with any kind of gown and a mask is fine. And then you're doing the masquerade thing, right?
That's right.
I mean, otherwise, those gowns can be heavy.
Yes.
As it is, people don't understand. Most men don't understand. You can't wear the same formal wear every night if you're a woman. You cannot wear the same dress. Right? Am I right, Cheryl?
Well, I'm trying not to, but accessorize, right?
But men, they can wear the same.
They can wear the same tuxedo or jacket. Right?
I think I recently Obama he wore like Michelle was saying she had to have a dress for every single function. And Obama, he wore the same tux every single time.
Well, I believe it. I do believe it. But it is true. Women have to do more. And you're right, Cheryl. It's packing. It gets heavy. If you remember those old pictures? I've always seen those old pictures where they had the huge trunks all laden down for their transatlantic crossings, right? And they had everything and their purses and the jewelry and their special, oh, my gosh. And they had their ballets they took, right, the whole 9 yards. But it will be interesting because there is quite a history. I mean, obviously, it's not the same old one. I've been to – have you seen the Queen Mary in Long Beach, that one that's in port?
No.
That is interesting. You can go to Long Beach and take a tour of that Queen Mary. Mm-hmm. And that one is really good. Come on in. Oh. Come on in, Barbara. Oh, you're Tony, but tell Barbara to come in. But, you know, that one has the original old radio room and all the stuff and the pictures of what it was like. And you can only imagine what that Queen Mary was really like because it was longer to do the trips then, of course. And it was formal. And it was more expensive. Hi there. come on in, pull up a chair, sit next to Cheryl. I guess you know each other. Pull the chair up here. Barbara Tengen's joining us, Reverend Tengen, or I guess I should call Pastor Tengen. Come on, come on. You know Cheryl.
We've met before.
And yeah. Clarence.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Let's move that mic over. And we're going to talk a little bit to you here as I finish up, though, real quickly with Clarence and Cheryl. So, I mean, I just am really super, super thrilled that you guys can travel as much as you travel and that you really have the chance to enjoy. It's just like your whole life is this a lot of people's dream. A lot of people's dream of just being able to take off and travel is what you do.
Yeah, we enjoy traveling, and we always plan. It's about a year ahead where we plan. So we're already looking at 2018, and next year will be the U.S. East Coast.
Oh, that's interesting. So are you going to do an RV, or are you going to do that by car?
No, we're going to do it by car, and we're looking at our schedule. We want to... I just asked Cheryl, where would you want to spend 4th of July? Because we just saw on TV all the fireworks in New York. And
New York is pretty
Washington,
impressive.
Washington, D.C. and Boston.
Yeah.
And so we're thinking, well, we have to be at one of those cities on the 4th of July. So that's the kind of things we're looking at.
Did you see the crowds, though?
Yeah, that's the part.
It's like, whoa, about a million.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there.
I was there